We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
I don't need lectures from you or anybody on the Sinn Féin side of the house.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, I'm Fiacra O'Kiana, and welcome to a special edition of the RTE Your Politics podcast. Every few weeks, we'll be changing tact on this podcast by looking at a host of political scandals and controversies to have befallen the great, the good, and occasionally the not-so-good of Irish political history. From Charlie Haughey and living way beyond our means in the 1980s, to the e-voting machines debacle of the early 2000s, to even a certain Clifton golf event just a few short months ago, we'll be giving you a ringside seat as we look back on some of the chapters in Irish political life certain politicians would like you to forget. And on today's special edition, we certainly have a tale that is, in more ways than one, priceless. In autumn 2009, Ireland was a year into the worst financial crisis to hit the state. 12 months on from the bank guarantee, 250,000 people were unemployed, tens of thousands had emigrated, the economy was in freefall, austerity budgets and on board SNPnua had imposed drastic cutbacks, and the IMF bailout was just a year around the corner. In other words, it was exactly the wrong time for a political finances controversy. But in September, that's exactly what happened, with reports surfacing about the costs incurred by the ministerial and Ciarán Cóiliúil offices of John O'Donoghue when he was Minister for Arts, Sport and Tourism, and later Ciarán Cóiliúil of the Dáil. By October, the long-standing Fianna Fáil TD for the then Kerry South constituency became only the second ever Ciarán Cóiliúil to resign from the post, amid a political furore he would say was unfair, saying costs were incurred by his office for the purposes of carrying out the work of the office rather than by him. And in a wider context, the decades-old expenses regime in Leinster House also fell, with then-Minister for Finance the late Brian Lenehan Jr. creating a new expenses system due to the controversy. In a moment, we'll hear from Michael O'Regan, a former Irish Times parliamentary correspondent for 3 decades who covered the story in the Dáil, and Ken Fox, the then Sunday Tribune's public affairs correspondent whose use of freedom of information requests brought the story out into the open. But before we go to our guests, here is some footage from the RTE archives to bring you back to the controversy, including Mr. O'Donoghue's resignation speech, and firstly, then Labour leader Eamon Gilmore's crucial Dáil intervention, which forced the hand of government.
Cancorla, on Sunday, when I read the reports of the expenses claimed by the Cancorla over the past 2 years, I felt that the pattern was unacceptable. Unacceptable to me as a public representative, unacceptable to me as a taxpayer, and I think unacceptable to the vast majority of taxpayers. And I considered that it was something that Dáil Éireann was going to have to deal with, and deal with quickly. The issue that arises, therefore, now is an issue of Dáil Éireann's confidence in the Ciarán Cóiliúil. And I would like to ask you, Taoiseach, if you and the parties in government continue to have confidence in Deputy O'Donoghue as Ciarán Cóiliúil. The Ciarán Cóiliúil, I regret to say this, but I consider that your position is no longer tenable. I think you will either have to resign or I think you will have to be removed from office.
Colleagues, it is an accepted convention of our political system that the Ciarán Cóiliúil should remain above political controversy. It was therefore inappropriate for me, as Ciarán Cóiliúil, to publicly respond to various matters concerning costs incurred while I was Minister for Arts, Sport and Tourism. My silence to date has been observed to ensure that the office of Ciarán Cóiliúil would not become the subject of political controversy. I leave office in the context of costs controversy, where my full defence has not been heard, and where I perceive the treatment afforded to me, and in particular in this House, is that of a symbol of an expense regime, and a costs regime that had been in operation for decades that had fallen into public disrepute. While there may be a difference of scale with some in this House, there is no difference of principle between me and many others who are subject to those regimes. I have had the great honour and privilege to serve in this House for almost 23 years. I came into this House an honest man. I never took anything from any man. I never could. I never would. Those who think otherwise do not know me and never will. I will walk proudly out of this chair, as proud as the day I walked into it. While I may have been forced out of office by an unfair procedure, only the people of South Kerry have the right to exclude me from political life.
No sign of John O'Donoghue in Leinster House today, as his deputy Brendan Howland took the chair for leaders' questions, where the Fine Gael leader suggested yesterday's dramatic events had missed the real issues.
Yesterday we saw the rather unedifying spectacle of this House being focused entirely on the job of one person. The work of this House should have been focused on the almost half a million who are now unemployed.
The Dáil will soon have a new Crown Corla and TDs will soon have a new system of expenses. Finance Minister Brian Lenihan said today he'll soon bring forward proposals that would offer a fully vouched and fully verifiable system of Oireachtas expenses. He said it would meet public concerns and offer full transparency.
And that was RTE's David McCullough ending that montage. We're joined now by Michael O'Regan, a former Irish Times parliamentary correspondent for 3 decades, who covered the story as it broke in the Dáil, and Ken Fox, the then Sunday Tribune's public affairs correspondent and current director of transparency group Right to Know, whose use of freedom of information requests brought the story out into the open. Ken, if we can start with you. You broke the story, but in the best journalistic tradition, it wasn't what you were initially chasing after. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was something that I was looking at a lot at the time, was kind of expenses, kind of poor choices when it came to government expenditure and so on. And one of the things that I was alerted to was that a renovation had taken place at the office of the Crown Corla. And I submitted a request about that, and it kind of came back with pretty significant costs around carpets that had cost nearly €30,000, curtains that had cost more than €11,000, and a chair that had cost €1,000. And it was kind of a bit of a one-off story, and I didn't think too much about it. But in the short time after that, I became aware that it might be a good idea perhaps to look at some of the expenditure associated with John O'Donoghue when he had been minister at the Department of Transport, Tourism and Sport. And so that's exactly what I did. I looked for details of costs incurred from his overseas travel during that time.
And Ken, you mentioned spending. Now, John O'Donoghue, of course, has always insisted what happened was caused by a wider problem in the system and that he personally did nothing wrong. He's also always said that the costs at the centre of the controversy were incurred by his office for the purposes of carrying out the work of the office and were not incurred by him personally. So remind people about some of the costs involved specifically in John O'Donoghue and his time as minister and as Crown Corla.
Well, what kind of quickly became apparent was that John O'Donoghue, when he had been Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport, and I suppose it's important to say he was Minister for Tourism and Sport, so overseas travel was inevitably going to be part of his work. But when you looked, I suppose, under the hood of that expenditure, the details of it were invariably incredibly expensive. So there would have been a succession of 5-star hotels. There was the use of the government jet over a period of days to attend a couple of different events. And then there were a few small things that really jumped out and at the time captured people's attention. And as you mentioned, you know, it was the time at the beginning of the recession. And I think people were looking for a kind of a target, and John O'Donoghue, to an extent, became that target. So there were things like payments for water taxis in Venice, hat hire at Ascot, tips to people for moving luggage in India, and there was also the infamous limousine transfers between terminals at Heathrow Airport. And like you said, John O'Donoghue, he didn't ever claim these expenses as such. These arrangements were made on his behalf, And as he would have said at the time, some of the arrangements would have had absolutely nothing to do with him, especially, say, the limousine transfer. That had become something that was provided to all ministers. It was incredibly expensive and completely pointless, but it was one of these things that had built up during the Celtic Tiger years. And I suppose there was two separate strands to the John O'Donoghue story, in that if it had only been expenditure incurred when he was Minister for Tourism and Sport, I think the controversy probably would have disappeared. But it was the fact that it continued when he was Ciarán Comhairle, and the travel coincided with race meetings like Cheltenham, like the Prix de l'Arc in Longchamp. That was what caused the real difficulty, and that's what caused the political party, it was Labour at the time, to move against him.
Okay, and Michael, if I can bring you in here. Now, at the time, you were Irish Times parliamentary correspondent and a very well-respected one there for a number of decades. And when you were watching this unfold in Leinster House and in the Dáil, all around your fellow county man, John O'Donoghue, who you also know very well, tell us about John O'Donoghue and the atmosphere in Leinster House when the story was breaking.
I was astonished by it, because not alone did I know John O'Donoghue for years, I knew his late mother, Councillor Mary O'Donoghue. Now, she had taken her husband, John's father's county council seat when he died quite a young man. And she built up a strong base, which John inherited as a young solicitor based in Cahersaveen in the then Kerry South three-seater. By the way, just a little historical footnote, Fiacra, the great Charlie Haughey wanted John O'Donoghue off the pitch initially. He wanted Mick O'Dwyer then training the Kerry team on the ticket. But anyway, but here you have suddenly this man from a staunch, humble, and I mean that in the best sense, Fianna Fáil tradition in Kerry South, now being accused of, travel, excessive expenditure and all that. And it was a slow build-up in Leinster House, in the sense that the club kicked in a bit initially when Ken was publishing doing some great journalism. Mr. O'Donoghue perhaps should have come out earlier and apologised, might have saved him. He wrote to TDs to saying that he had done nothing wrong. But Eamon Gilmore, of course, who was then the star of the opposition benches, in a moment of political theatre in Leinster House, asked him to go, and then his position became untenable. But those of us who knew John O'Donoghue over the years were shocked.
I perceive the treatment afforded to me, and in particular in this house, is that of a symbol of an expense regime, and a costs regime, that had been in operation for decades, that had fallen into public disrepute. While there may be a difference of scale with some in this house, there is no difference of principle between me and many others who are subject to those regimes.
And when you mentioned that it was a slow build-up until Eamon Gilmore's speech, why do you think it was such a slow build-up? Certainly John O'Donoghue, in his resignation speech, certainly intimated that maybe it was a system-wide issue.
Well, I think, you see, when Ken started writing his articles and that this put a focus on a senior person in Leinster House to an extent that hadn't happened before. Now, you know, the St. Patrick's Day trips, ministerial trips and all that, they were known to journalists and that. And I think Ken made a valid point there, where if it had ceased when he was Minister for Art, Sport and Tourism, I think he would have been okay, because a certain amount of travel was inevitable in that job. But then you had not alone the renovation of the office, okay, he might have survived that. But, and I remember reading, actually, the day he announced details of his travel costs, which, of course, he insists were all that travel was organised for him. I remember reading through it in the office, actually, when it came in. And Ken is right there. I think what did him down in the end was the coincidence of going to places where there were high-profile race meetings.
Minister Corda, as Minister for Finance for the past 10 months, I have submitted one budget and two rounds of expenditure adjustments to this House. Economic turmoil throughout the world and in Ireland dictated these measures. The measures that I am bringing forward today will complete this process for 2009. I want to assure the Irish people that we have the capacity and your government has the will to bring us out of this period of severe economic distress.
Now, obviously, there was another narrative taking place at the time as well. We were in 2009. We were a year into the worst recession to ever hit the state in 100 years. That was the wider narrative taking place, of course, Michael. So given the fact that the country was falling apart financially at that time. In your view, do you think politicians, including John O'Donoghue, realised at first how big this controversy was going to be?
I suspect they didn't. And it struck me at the time. I think the late Brian Lenehan Jr. did. He was Minister for Finance. I think others did. But bear in mind, Fiacre, we'd come through a period of huge economic growth. Remember Bertie's great phrase, the boom is getting boomer. You know, Charlie McCreevy, Minister for Finance, warned by Europe, you can't keep cutting taxes and increasing public expenditure. And he says, when I have it, I'll spend it. But here we have John O'Donoghue at a time when the economy had collapsed, immigration, unemployment, Brian Lennon coming into the Dáil with a budget that cut the blind pension. I mean, you know, echoes of taking a shilling off the old age pension. So he was in a no-win situation in terms of the political environment. Now, he did admit that in his speech. He said at a time of financial constraints and hardships, he accepted that viewed through this prism, some costs were excessive. He was in a particular time and place, I think.
Sure, sure. And Ken, if I can bring you back in here, in your own view, why did this become such a big issue? Was it partially because, as Michael was saying, that the reported costs involved included those relating both to the ministerial role and the Ciarán Cóirla office? And in addition, do you think there were also concerns about how the information was released on a Friday evening?
Well, there was a whole load of factors to it. And one of the things Michael mentioned was, you know, around St. Patrick's Day travel. And a couple of years prior to the John O'Donoghue controversy, I had done a story that showed Patrick's Day travel in 1 year had cost more than €500,000. But it barely raised an eyebrow because we were in that period of Celtic Tiger. And, you know, people just weren't really too bothered about expenditure like that. It was like we had money and we would spend it. But the problem for John O'Donoghue was that these details, and of course, because of the nature of his ministerial post, he was likely going to be the one who was travelling most. And he sort of became the lightning rod for it. One of the things that happened as well was that the stories were broken. It was kind of the height of summer. So there was a bit of a lull period. And there were other factors too. You know, social media was becoming very popular. So there were a lot of kind of little graphics and memes that started to circulate. Gavin Sheridan, who I work with in Right to Know, he began to post some of the documents online. So there are all these other disparate factors coming together kind of to build to a crescendo for when the Oireachtas kind of came back to work. And by that stage, the public mood was, you know, at fever pitch. And one of the things you mentioned around the release of the documents was that John O'Donoghue went ahead and he actually released some documents himself, but they were going to be released under FOI anyway to me. And that was, I suppose, just another strand to what turned into a real kind of piece of political theatre, like Michael said, which ended with Labour pulling the rug from underneath the feet of Mr. O'Donoghue.
Fianna Fáil's vote simply collapsed. The long-serving TD and former minister lost his seat.
I hope that the irony will not be lost upon you that I stand here on my evening of defeat in a hall, this magnificent sports complex which I helped to build.
Now, back to you, Michael. Obviously, this controversy, it eventually led, as we heard earlier, to John O'Donoghue's resignation as Ciarán Cóirla. Now, he was not re-elected to the Dáil subsequently in the general election in 2011, and he has not returned to national politics since. Do you think it's a fair ending to the situation, both for him and on the wider situation?
I think it was a pity that his career ended the way it did. He was a man, and is a man of enormous ability, you know, huge ability. He was Minister for Justice at a difficult time. Anyone who's come through the crucible of the Department of Justice, you know, is fairly well honed politically. So I think it was a pity from that point of view. Also a long family tradition there of service to the country, service to Fianna Fáil. But I think he could have handled it better. I mean, for instance, his exit on that evening when he lost his seat was the irony of being in a hall which he had built, helped build. Now, That is no way to take your defeat. One can understand the emotion of the occasion. He did want to come back politically, but I think up in Mount Street, in party headquarters, John O'Donoghue was unwelcome history as far as they were concerned. Ruthless and all as that may seem. Mm-hmm.
And to you, Ken, on the wider issue, do you feel this could all happen again? Of course, we heard in the montage earlier that in the aftermath of the controversy, Brian Lenehan Jr., who was then the Minister for Finance, he introduced new systems to ensure greater transparency when it comes to costs accrued in politics. But have those lessons been fully learned? And is the new system itself also able to withstand any potential difficulties and costs?
Well, one of the big regrets I would have about the whole thing is, and I would always say, and I suppose kind of with Golfgate in mind, you know, one should always ask the question when you are asking or seeking or forcing somebody to resign, is there going to be something positive that comes from this? Is it going to actually affect necessary change to make things better? And the huge regret I have about this is that the expenses system actually became less transparent after John O'Donoghue's resignation. So up until then, it was more expensive, but there was more clarity in terms of being able to access information using FOI. You could get access to expenditure by TDs and senators. You could keep a much closer track of their overnight and travel expenses. And what happened was we got a slightly cheaper system, but one with much less transparency, so that now we have an absurd system, which is based on TDs and senators clocking in for attendance. It's the only clock-in system that I'm aware of in the world where you clock in, but you don't have to clock out. So you could literally walk in the door, fob in, and walk out again. And this has already caused a degree of controversy for Leinster House. The other aspect of it was that they wanted, and this was very clear, they wanted to put it beyond FOI. They wanted to make it totally inaccessible. So for several years, I fought a kind of a losing fight to get access to some of the invoices and receipts that TDs and senators were using to claim expenses. And ultimately, I was unsuccessful on the basis that these records were considered private papers. And they were designated private papers under legislation that was designed to protect interaction between whistleblowers and TDs and senators. So they were absolutely determined to make the system a little bit cheaper because that would solve public anger, but much less transparent. And I think the reason for that was because they felt if you had a very opaque system, the only thing people can write about is kind of overall costs, but they can't get into the small details. And when it comes to controversies over spending, it's the small little details. It's the €50 here or the €200 there. Those are the ones that cause the real difficulties.
Of course, John O'Donoghue has at all times insisted what happened was caused by a wider problem in the system and that he personally did nothing wrong. He has also always said the costs at the centre of the controversy were incurred by his office for the purposes of carrying out the work of the office and not by him. Mr. O'Donoghue has not responded to a number of requests by this programme for comment. That's all from the special edition of RTE's Your Politics podcast. Join us for the next edition of the programme when we will be back to discussing the current controversies to beset Irish politics and for future special editions when we will be delving back into the scandals of Ireland's political past. Until then, from me, Fiacra O'Kiona, and all the team, Slán agus banat.